everyone. Welcome to the Better Beer Club podcast, the show where we talk a little about beer and a lot about nothing. I'm your host, Nate Island, and with me as always, Sean Dunn, a.k.a. the prettiest lumberjack you've ever laid ears on.
Well, keep in mind at the Better Beer Club podcast that if you're drinking anything other than a beer at this point, it's time to make a change for the better, because here, every show's a drinking show.
Yeah, I say it's time to crack open a beer and get started. In fact, what we talked about last week, I figured we would touch on that and talk about getting straight into the beer this week.
I think that's a good idea, because that way we get even more time to kind of, you know, take it in.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. More time to figure out the koozie rating. So here we go.
I think all around you've been really kind of raring to go this week, because you kind of started the show three times. The audience isn't going to hear it, but Nate really jumped the gun like a couple of times on the intro. Have you just solely been thinking about doing the podcast for the last week, and now it's time and you can't contain yourself?
I think it's been the opposite. I guess I was a little unprepared this week.
I've decided now that I'm going to begin isolating all your bloopers and bringing them up on a sound effects thing so I can play them at will.
I think that's actually a really good idea. I think we could even like put a bloopers section on the website at some point after we get enough of my dumbass making mistakes.
I'm sure I'm going to do it too. After I divulge that, oh my, I just noticed you have a Better Beer Club shirt on.
I wore my professional shirt today.
It was like you disrobed. I thought you were just getting hot under the collar because I had sort of called you out for being a little like, you know, a little trigger happy. But
I just wanted
to show me that shirt. That lapel is unlike anything I've seen lately.
I was just getting hot, but I forgot that I had it on. Thanks for pointing that out. I bought this so that when I go into the breweries and be like, oh, hey, I'm Nate from the Better Beer Club, would you like to give us discounts and we'll put your name on the website, blah, blah, blah. I'm just pointing my shirt here. It's Better Beer Club. It says it right here. So,
well, for those of you that can't see it, we'll post a picture on the website. It's like a coat of arms. And it's like it's got a beer in the center of it. It's a class act.
So it's very professional. It's really my work shirt.
I'm forced to wear polo shirts. Actually, I'm sitting here in my polo shirt from my day job. So, you know,
a couple of dudes drinking beers and polos.
I got to get me one of those polo shirts for like 6 o'clock on whenever we record night, and you know, getting the spirit of things.
I think I can make that happen. I think I will. Next time I order one, I will order you one for sure. Cool. We'll get you. It'll be our work shirt. But in case anybody was wondering, we're working right now, so this is work, sort of.
Well, so I like your idea of getting right into the beer tasting that way. I feel like, you know, people want to know that we're having a sip or two of beer while we're talking right from the get go, so they can too in turn enjoy themselves. So, what do you got this week? It's your week to buy the beer and to come up with the pub joke of the week. Have you fulfilled both your duties?
I hope so, and I hope my pub joke of the week is better than it was the first week. We'll see how it goes. But
is it animal related? I think that's what our audience is wondering.
You know, I had a few animal related ones, and I changed directions. It's not animal related. So
okay, good. For a little change of pace then.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a tiny change of pace. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, what do you got with for the beer this week?
So this week I went with the 2015 Beer Camp. Hoppy lager. This is from, let me give you one of these.
Oh, I'll isolate that as well. Oh, that's better than the one I bought on iTunes.
We'll see how that works. But, Sierra Nevada does this thing I was reading about. It's called Beer Camp. And Beer Camp is I guess you post videos, and those videos are, they pick like the best videos. I guess the winners go to beer camp is what it is. So they bring a bunch of people to the Sierra Nevada brewery up in Chico and their other one in like North Carolina or whatever. And you get to go there and like do all the cool brewery stuff, take on tours and tastings and all that good stuff. But then you also get to like, I think you get to be like a part of the brew process. And this particular
cool.
beer is a the Ballast Point, the company we did last week's
beer,
and you had said how much you like Sierra Nevada. Well, this is a compilation or whatever. I don't know. The two of them together brewed this beer.
Ballast Point was involved?
Yeah, Ballast Point and Sierra Nevada came together to make this beer. They're calling it a hoppy lager, which I have to say, after your comment about India Pale Ales last week, I don't know how much you're going to like this one because the description on the bottle says a hop-heavy twist on a classic blonde lager, 7.0 alcohol by volume. Yeah, it's going to be hoppy, I think. And you can tell by the color, it's definitely a little bit more amber.
Yeah.
Well, so here you go, sir. Buddy. And cheers to better beer.
Cheers. It's really good.
It actually isn't too over the top with the hops. I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more crazy for you.
It's pretty mellow, but you can tell that it's definitely potent. I have to admit that I had a few Bud Lights before the podcast tonight. And I've been on, you know, kind of that wavelength. And now we've upped the ante. So, yeah, it's definitely something to behold.
Yeah. It does have that sort of buttery lager finish, if you will. It smells really nice. It's got like a...
You know what it kind of reminds me of? And I don't know why. Maybe it's because Easter just passed and we were eating ham. At least in my family was. It reminds me of that Martinelli's apple cider. You ever had that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got it's not apple-y in any way, but it's got a similar consistency.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. It does have a nice bit of a... head to it, so it's lacing the cup a little bit here, the goblet, I should say.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that too, and I have refrained from requesting the drinking out of the bottle thing this week because I think you've shown me a better way.
No, like I said, you know, round two, drink it out of the bottle, but I like to be able to smell it, and plus this, I always want to talk about the color of it, and I can't see it in the bottle, so I have to. So I have to bottle it, or I have to pour it in the goblet so I can see it. So
while we're on that real quick, just because I do have a question, the brown bottle actually is beneficial in some ways, is that right? Something about UV rays or keeping the beer fresh or...
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit to us.
I'm not sure the exact science behind it, but in layman's terms, basically the sun gets to the beer and... turns it stanky, if you will. I don't know. Stank's obviously not the right word, I guess. But if you've ever had
normal wine tasting vocabulary around here, so anything goes.
If you've ever had a Heineken or a anything in a green bottle or a clear bottle, like a Corona or a or what's a Newcastle? Newcastle is a prime example of like a brown ale that has that skunky. To it. That's from sun exposure is my understanding.
That makes sense because I have drank beers that have sat outside for many weeks, and it does impart a little bit of a skunky flavor to it.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's the same process, I don't know, but
makes sense to me.
Well, cool. I'm glad you brought this because, as you know, Sierra Nevada is one of my favorite beers, and I love that Ballast Point. And this is like the best of both worlds. And even though I am slightly shy when it comes to India Pale Ales, this is very nice.
Yeah. And I think, well, I talked to last week about Ballast Point making what they were calling an Indian Pale Lager. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is categorized as that. They're just calling it a hoppy lager. But it's, you know, fermented at a lower temperature with a lager yeast, and it's delicious if you ask me. They're giving it a 55 IBU rating. That's international bitter units.
Good pick. Can I take a look at the bottle? That's
of course.
We really want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a pretty classic Sierra Nevada
Nate
bottle.
Nate to give me a second beer.
Didn't take much. I got a bunch of them here.
Spring seasonal. Well, it is springtime, and we're having spring weather, and this is... very cheery bottle, and I'm happy to be drinking it on this fine April evening.
You know, one of the things that me and my soon-to-be do when we go wine tasting that I thought would be a fun thing to add to the show is the vocabulary of wine tasting. Like, there are some ridiculous vocabulary words that people use when they're very snootily swirling their wine glass around. And don't get me wrong, when I taste wine, I'm a fucking snob. I swirl that shit around, stick my nose all the way in there, and
you want the full experience.
Yeah, exactly. But we think it's really fun to make up these ridiculously stupid words that nobody has any idea what they mean, nor could they, because we just made them up, and drop them into like the samplings and look people straight in the face and just be like, oh, this is really round. Don't you think?
That's sort of pervasive in this day and age, I think, too, with slang words that come around. And you'll notice it, like, it's just creeping up in your everyday life, where some word that you'd probably only find on in a rap song or on Urban Dictionary becomes the new way to express yourself. So I've noticed this with, like, a lot of vocabulary from, like, rap songs has now made its way into country. But it's, like, rap lyrics from, like, literally 15 years ago, and now the country guys think it's hip to include those same phrases like get your swerve on and things of that nature that Ice Cube was saying 30 years ago. Yeah. And now, you know, so it's kind of funny how terms that somebody will say something and you're sort of forced to acknowledge that it means what they think it means, but at the same time it's a little strange. But
maybe the country singers are getting the rappers back for having stole everyone else's work for so long, because like I don't. I always thought, like, whenever I heard, you always hear rappers like dubbing songs over that are like remixes of like a classic from somebody who famous or so. Well, and I don't know, I've heard them do it with a few country songs, but they usually do it with like old rock and roll songs or something, and they just murder it into a a horrible rap song.
But you cannot beat, like, the early 1994, like, early 90s Snoop Dogg videos with him and Dr. Dre walking through the dead lawn into the party, just unrolling a roll of condoms 3 feet long and saying, hi, I'm here. You know, you can't beat those videos. So, I mean, seeing it regurgitated in pop country music today is kind of a nice nod to the good old days.
Yeah, like... So how, you know, this is, I wanted to wish you a happy Easter. This is, Easter was yesterday. So how was your week? How was your Easter?
It was good. We spent it with the family. Wasn't a whole lot of beer drinking going on, so I'm not sure I'm going to tie this in. But we just kind of had a normal lunch and worked all day Saturday at a friend's house and just kind of did the normal thing and was happy to reward myself with some beer Saturday night. So Sunday was a little slower than I'd like it to be, you know, first thing in the morning. But I had a good time. How about you guys? Did you guys do anything fun with the family?
Yeah, we went to both sides of the family. We brought her parents came to my grandma's house, and we all kind of hang out and do dinner and that kind of stuff. My family, on the other hand, has no problem drinking on holidays, nor, you know, even no matter whose matter whose birthday it is. Yeah, in fact, I posted a thing to Pinterest and Instagram on Easter morning. I don't even know what time it was. Too early to be drinking, but we had Bloody Marys and posted up a recipe on there. So follow us on Pinterest and you can find that recipe if you care.
Let's direct all of our Manly Man Beer Club listeners over to Pinterest where all the bad motherfuckers hang out. So I wanted to bring something up that just kind of entered my mind is you were able to get the podcast on iTunes this week, which is a huge deal for us. You know, how was the process?
It was pretty simple. Interesting. It was not, I wouldn't call it simple. We're going to celebrate with another one of these. That's how happy we are about iTunes. Oh, that one didn't go as good.
Close.
But, the process itself is pretty simple, but like anything I do with computers and everything else that I don't really understand all that well, I just go to YouTube and figure it out by someone else's video. And there were different videos from different people telling me to do it different ways, and three of them didn't work. And then I finally found one that did. Because you have to submit it in a certain format, so you have to turn it into that. And then I turn it into an RSS feed so they can...
So for the listeners, basically, all they need to know is, at this point, instead of going to the Better Beer Club website, if you're not a member or whatever and you just want to direct your friends to the podcast, go to the Better Beer Club podcast over on iTunes.
I believe it's either the Better Beer Club podcast or Better Beer Club podcast. Yeah, you'll find it. We looked it up, and it's on there. And you can do it either. The podcast, whether you're a member of the Better Beer Club or not, You can get on thebetterbeerclub.com, and the podcast page is free. You can get on there. You can listen to it as an MP3. There's a link on there as well where you can then go to iTunes and listen to it on iTunes. All the above. So, yeah.
Great. Cool. Well, yeah. Tell your friends about it if you like the show. If you got friends that want to join us for our weekly sip of beer, have them do so. And just before we move on to a little things that make you want to drink a beer, anything new on the Better Beer Club side of things this week? Any events? Anything going on for our local listeners?
We got wow, there it went. Where'd that come from? We got we're focusing on homebrewing this month, so we are you know, SoCal Homebrew Supply and Revolt Homebrew Supply are helping us out. We get 5% off on all that. Like I said last week, Hamilton Brewing Company came on board. They're giving us 20% off our first beer. All that's good to go. So we're featuring both of the suppliers in the newsletter this month, and we'll be pushing forward next month. So get on the Better Beer Club, be a member.
There's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my...
Well, this week on Things That Make You Need a Beer, I thought I'd relay to you something that I went through this week that was a little disturbing and made me need a beer. It's my trip to the DMV.
It's always a good one.
So I'm turning 30 this year, which... You're miles ahead of me. I know. So this is probably a distant, murky past for you.
Well, congratulations on that milestone.
But anyhow, I've had my same driver's license since I was 15 and a half, the same picture. So the DMV finally realized that this past week, or this past month, I had to go in the last week, but that I needed to take a new picture because probably semi-outdated, seeing as I wasn't a legal adult at the time the picture was taken, and now I'm requesting 36 to, you know, 72 beers at a time at somebody's register. And there's always a little question. So I was happy that it was time to go back in for the picture.
That's always been a funny one for me. That used to happen to me too, because it took a long time before I upgraded my ID.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do they care? You're going, old man, why are you showing me an ID of someone who's young?
Yeah.
If I was going to fake it, why would I show you a kid?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so I've been struggling with this for a little while because I've had a beard for many, many years, and as of late, it's been pretty, it's been getting larger, and I was thinking to myself, in fact, a friend told me a while back, you're gonna have to shave that when you go in for your DMV picture. So I did a little research, and I'm thinking, well, it makes sense to a certain degree because you're not really getting a picture of my full face, but at the same time, if I just say I keep it for religious reasons or whatever, like, what can you do? So anyways, I made my appointment online. I went in at the specified time. I was actually early because I thought I would respect the fine people over at the DMV and be early to my appointment. So I show up at 1:45. I get in line. I finally get up to the front of the appointments only line. Mm. And keep in mind, it's a hot day out. It's probably in the low 90s, I think, that particular day. There's people outside just wallowing around, fighting for shade. And I'm just like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm so happy to be here. So I get to the front of the line, it's maybe like 1:50 by this point. I say, hi, you know, I'm Sean, I'm here checking for my 2 o'clock appointment. The lady's like, okay, 1:50, she sees my name, I find the name, she's like, well, we'll see you at 2. And I'm looking at the line that I just went through, and I'm thinking, there's no possible way I could just check in now, you know, I mean, I'm early, it's 10 minutes literally from my appointment. She says, go away, come back at 2. So I think, well, maybe they have a policy, you know, I'm sure they do.
They always do.
So I figure about 1:56, I'm thinking, I'm going to, you know, pregame this a little bit, get in line. That way, about by the time I get to the front of the line, it's 2, you know. And the lady will accept my plea to be given my number where I can continue to wait after I get the number. So tell me if I go too long. I'm just passionate about this.
You do what you do.
So I get up to the front of the line for the second time. I look at my clock. I'm thinking, shit, it's 1:58. You know, I go up, I say, hi, I'm Sean, I'm here for my 2 o'clock appointment. She finds my name and sees that it's already checked and looks up at me and says, oh, you were just here. And she looks at her clock and says, well, we'll see you at 2. And I'm like, I finally had to say, it's literally 1:58. Like, and she says, well, it's not 1:58, it's 1:56. So in my brain, I'm thinking, well, that doesn't really even matter. So I say, well, maybe my clock's a little fast, my watch is a little fast, because I use my watch, but really, what's going on here? So I get my number, which you gotta wait till 2 to get your number.
Oh God.
And then you go sit down, and I literally got in like 50 minutes later. I finally was called to the window. So anyways, you know, during this whole time, there's security guards telling the unwashed masses, move motherfuckers, get out of the walkways. But people are just like, please don't send me outside because I've got some either heart or skin condition that doesn't allow me to just bake there for hours while you take your lunch, you know? So it's just, it's all bad, and you're just thinking, this is what it's gonna be like when, you know, the dollar crashes and we're all standing in soup lines. It's going to be run just like the DMV.
Come back a minute and a half later for your soup, sir.
So, yeah, we'll see you at dinner time, okay? So anyways, you know, I get up there. I'm through the whole process. I'm kind of thinking, man, I hope nobody gives me shit about my beard. I'm thinking, what if I go through this whole thing and then they tell me, hey, man, you know, we'd love to help you, but you're going to have to go home and shave that beard so we can get a full and precise picture of your face. I don't know where I heard this. Somebody gave me misinformation, but anyways, the whole thing went smooth and okay, I got my license on the way.
Yeah. Well, smooth. I guess you could call that smooth. At least you didn't have to shave.
Yeah, it was miserable. So I, you know, after this whole thing goes by 2 days ago, for some unknown reason, I'm just like, I'm just going to shave my beard off. So I tell my wife I'm going to go take a shower. I emerge fresh faced.
Did you tell her you were going to shave?
I did not mention it. But I've had a beard for literally like on and off since I was 18, but the past five years, like pretty much solid.
Like burly man beard.
Huge beard. Yeah. So now I'm just going with the mustache, but yeah, I walk out and then I realized the next day I just took my fucking driver's license picture with the beard on, which.
So which now, now you're the opposite. You have the beard and the photo.
Now everybody's going to not believe me. Alright, man, so that's my little thing that made me eat a beer. And I know that we got a little beer news and we got a little homebrewing tip segment to get to. So what do you want to hit first?
I guess let's get into the beer news. Let's do the beer news. Yeah, I like the...
Sorry about that faux pas.
That's one I was.
All right, so beer news. So we've got an update on the spent grain thing.
Beer news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a video that I put on episode 2's description. It's a little link, but in case you didn't catch that link, and you wanted to, you should go check it out. It's basically the, I don't remember. What is it? I don't remember. It's like Commissioner, what's her name? Senator. Senator Collins is talking to the head lady of the FDA, and she basically just reams into her.
I think we have a clip of that. You want to play a short clip?
Yeah. Let's play the clip of her telling her if we have it.
Her animal feed. I have to tell you that I think the FDA's approach is a perfect example of a solution in search of a problem.
And I mean, she just lays it out perfect.
She's got no bones about it.
Yeah, and it's funny because the lady, the rebuttal from the lady from the FDA is like we talked about the other week. She's like, oh yeah, you know, oh we're all about sustainability and this and that and we'll take a real hard look at this and reconsider maybe some of it, you know. So
in a day and age where everybody's going green and forcing you to do this and that with your water reduction and what, you know, just this whole movement of just no more fine looking American cars. Let's all drive like little sculpted beetle looking things that run on electricity. Where, you know, many of us red blooded Americans are heartbroken to see the sort of advance towards the loss of the internal combustion engine. You finally throw something like this in their face, like, hey, right. Now here's something for you to, you know, work on and, you know, or to just let us be, you know, let people do, and they kind of want to squawk about it. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of back at them a little bit. Like, hey, we just want to recycle, reuse, renew and coexist.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. different industries helping each other out, you know, and the more I watched it, the more I realized that the FDA basically went, yeah, sure, we'll take a look at that. Fuck you, we're not going to really look at that. You know, like they're like, oh, we'll revise that. You know, and they're going to revise it, but it's not going to be. I honestly don't think it's going to be
as revised as it needs to be, but well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And so perfect. the other thing on beer news was a new brewery opening up. There is a new brewery. They're calling it Abnormal Beer Company in San Diego. New brewery up in San Diego. That's okay. going to be, I think.
That's the hub, sort of.
Yeah, it's
of,
the yeah.
brewing these days.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, area. It'll have a real bitchin' restaurant attached to it, unlike all the ones in our area. so,
well, there's something cute about our local ones because every time I've got a friend who plays music at you know some of the local breweries. And I really kind of like that they'll have a dude that comes out and just makes, like, custom sausages or whatever, like his own personal recipes. He comes out, cooks them up, and there's something kind of campy about it, but yeah. also something kind of cool. Like, it's not so corporate. You
yeah,
know,
you get just, that. You get that local greatness, you know? Yeah. You get some dude out there going, hey, anybody want a sausage?
yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, kind of, you know. I don't need a receipt for this transaction. You know, you give me the sausage, I give you the dollar, and then we go about our day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But, you know, it is nice to have someplace like that new brewery with a nice kind of fine culinary destination for date nights and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, even then, it's I would take my lady there for a date. You know, maybe I'm not so old-fashioned, but you know, yeah. sit down. Sure. You know what I did find out last week? I didn't realize this. We went into Dale Brothers, to watch your friend play actually. Mm-hmm. And I was going to just go buy a growler
yeah.
and share it between the two of us.
And get the half off fill with the coupon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, regardless of whether I was getting the half off fill with the coupon or not, the thought was I'm going to go in there. And as soon as I walked in, someone who comes in to my bar notice me, you know, him and his wife, and we're like, hey, what's up? Hey, how's it going? And I was like, hey, hang on. I'm going to go get a growler. We're going to sit here, and we're all going to share a growler, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way to go about this. So I get to the front, and I'm like, hey, can I have – I'll take a growler and four glasses, you know? And the guy's like, nah, that's not going
to
happen.
I was about to say, did they allow it? That's definitely a mark of a really down-to-earth brewery because normally they'd want to see IDs per cup or whatever. Even if you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you get a – pitcher of beer, they're like, how many cups and how many IDs, you know, IDs can you produce, you know?
Yeah, right. No, it had nothing to do with the IDs. They can't serve you a growler and let you open it in their establishment, I guess. It made no sense to me.
It's only a vessel for transporting it back home.
Yeah, I guess, okay. Because, I mean, I get it. They sell you the growler. They have to seal it
mm-hmm.
because that makes them no longer liable if you decide to open it in your car
yeah.
and do something stupid, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what are we really talking about here? Like, is it for here or to go? It's mm-hmm. an open container. Every vessel you serve me beer in is an open container.
At some point, it's like
you know, like if I decide yeah. to walk out of here with this glass in my hand to get in my car,
yeah.
I decide to walk out of here with this glass in my hand to get in yeah. my car. That's common sense to me. I mean, and yeah. I know it's the ABC, you know, making sure that they do that. But I think there should be an option. Hey, is this for here or to go? It's for here.
Yeah.
You can sell me a fucking pitcher of beer.
Yeah, that's true. It's about the same size as a pitcher.
With a big ass open top in it, you know, you wouldn't bring that in your car because it would spill everywhere. Bullshit. The person who's going to walk out of there with a half open growler and drive home doesn't give a fuck what vessel
like,
it's in.
Glamis 2002.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
I've
like,
seen it.
That's all yeah. I'm saying. Like, maybe the ABC should reconsider their law.
Yeah.
You know, and
that is a gray area, isn't it? Because it's resealable is the thing. Like a beer normally is you pop right. the cap, it's not sealable anymore.
Right.
But that thing you could,
well,
you know.
Well,
whatever,
there you go. Don't give me the cap if you're going to give
yeah.
me a growler
yeah.
and a couple glasses, and we're going to sit there and share it. Okay, fine. It's for here. You don't get a cap.
Yeah.
Because you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Which first of all is horseshit because you can open a bottle of wine in a restaurant,
uh-huh.
drink half of it, have them cork it.
Oh, that's true.
And drive it home.
Yeah, yeah, that is
so,
true.
So, I mean, and that is a completely open container at that point. Like,
yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. It's just, I feel like the breweries would benefit from it in some way. Maybe not, you know. They're making more money by selling you the pint anyway. But still, like, you should be able to buy a growler and share it with your friends.
Yeah, it makes
right
sense.
Right there on point.
Like, what we want is volume right yeah. now, damn it.
Yeah, right now.
Damn it.
All right, is that the end of the beer news for today?
Yeah, that's beer news.
All right, let's do a little home brewing tips because we're ever approaching the time when I actually buy my carboy and start this process.
Yeah. I figured we would.
So let's go ahead and introduce the segment before we get too far into it.
Homestead music. I love it.
So what do you got for us as far as home brewing tips?
I just have a question, Sean. Yeah. When you buy the carboy,
yeah.
You have a closet to put it in, right?
I do have. I think I have. I have a couple closets.
Okay,
just, but my wife owns them all.
Oh, see,
I don't have very much real estate in any closet in this house.
Because you can't tell the wifeys what's in the closet.
What about? I think I got a way around it. I'll devise a plan.
Instead of doing homebrew tips this week, I thought we could just sort of toss around the kind
hiding
of beer
places.
We wanted to. Yeah, hiding places. Yeah, toss around the kind of beer we wanted to brew. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Being that we are rapidly approaching summer, like we almost never had a winter,
mm-hmm.
It's probably a bad idea to do a lager because it's going to have to be fermented at a real low temperature. And
yeah.
and with the way this winter went, it might be a hot summer.
Yeah.
So we might need to control the temperature somehow, even of the ale.
Mm-hmm. How about something like... I was going to say like a pale ale because I'd love to try that, but you're saying even at, you know, for our listeners abroad, it's not much of an issue, but here in the arid climate of Southern California, we may need to pick something else.
No, an ale's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say. I'd say like a pale ale or something like that's probably
fun to try.
Probably a good idea.
I bet it'll be strikingly close to Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Because they always seem to be.
Yeah, I think we could. I think it'll be better than Sierra Nevada because we made it.
So, at this point, I need to buy the carboy, and then we get together for the brew day. Nice. You're gonna get it one of these days.
The cap drop never gets on the microphone.
So we get the carboy, we get going. So, the pale ale. What's the temperature? Something like that would be fermenting at.
You're usually in the. Wow, spacing out on that one. I want to say you're in the mid-60s to high-60s. You're probably somewhere around like 68-ish.
So that's something you could attain in a closet.
Yeah, you could if you keep it in the dark and you probably could keep it there. If you were to, you can put it in water too. Like if it gets mm-hmm. real hot, it gets to a point where it's just going to be like 100 degrees every day.
Yeah.
You can just stick it in a barrel of water and then it'll hold it at room temperature of water and won't fluctuate very much. So
yeah.
I've heard that's a good approach to take.
That makes sense.
yeah. So, I mean, so we go get some grain. We'll probably get, some kind of just regular pale ale. Grain for the bulk of it. Maybe we'll add in another like specialty grain.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a couple different kinds of hops. Maybe we could do one hop. We could do two hops. How many different kinds of? You probably don't want it too over the top with hops.
No, just enough. Just enough. Be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go
easy,
get like
please.
An ounce of hops. Now I did come up on this. They had a little article on for this Beer Camp beer, and they were talking about the difference between the difference between bitterness and hoppiness, basically. So they're kind of saying that IBUs measure the bitterness of the beer based on the amount of hop acid that is of bitter hop acid that is packaged into the beer. But hoppiness is not really, you can't really measure it in that terms. It's like more the flavor of the hops and the aroma of the hops. So you can get hoppiness without bitterness. So what is it about an IPA that you don't like? Is it the bitterness or is it the hoppiness?
I think it's a little of both because this is a little bit bitter and a little bit hoppy, but nothing over the top. But I've had like, I want to say like maybe some of that Stone Brewery stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's just like when you, it's so thick and, kind of over the top with the hops. For me, I mean, a lot of people are connoisseurs of that, and that's cool. I happen to like lagers personally, but I think it's just when it gets to a level where it's just like, damn, this is almost like, not even a beer anymore. It's almost closer to a wine made out of wheat.
you know,
with the alcohol content being what it is.
Yeah, you're really tasting the plant more, and it's more just like, I mean, I like that idea. Like, I think if we took, you know, three different hoppy beers, three different IPAs or something like that, put them all side by side and tasted them, you start to appreciate the different flavors of the different plants that you're dealing with. I mean, it's the same plant, the different strands and you know, so you start to kind of get that. And I like that. I like that with all kinds of different things, like coffee and different things. Yeah. Like, you can taste the difference in the bean.
I've even noticed that with tea. I like black tea. I'm a real big fan of Irish breakfast tea, and it's really just black tea, but we've always kind of tried different brands. We get the cheap one, get the more expensive one, and really some of the brands, just even though it's the same basic leaf, same, you know, class of, you know, flora, whatever, it's there really is a difference in the, where it's grown, where it's, you know, harvested, you know, things of that nature. The process of harvesting it and packaging it really do make a difference. So, you know, even with the same ingredients, the way it's approached can really make a difference, I think, at the end of the day, when it comes to beer too.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we'll go with the pale ale. We'll lightly hop it. The reason I bring that up is because we can brew it. If we put the hops in, like, right at the beginning of the boil, it'll probably be fairly hoppy. If we put them in later in the boil, or fairly bitter, I should say. We put them later in the boil, you'll get a little less bitterness, you know. And if you add some in at the end, you'll just get some of the flavor and the aroma from them. You won't get the bitterness from them.
Sounds like a plan.
So, yeah. So maybe we won't put them in at the 60-minute mark. Maybe we'll pause it. Maybe we'll put them in at like the 40-minute mark or something like that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. It sounds like a plan. Well, let's get that going this week, and let's koozie this Beer Camp beer and get to that pub joke of the week.
All right.
So what are you thinking as far as a rating for this week's beer?
Actually, you got to rate it first.
Oh, I got to do it first.
Yeah, you got to rate it first.
You know what? I have to say, I mean, I really love Sierra Nevada. And I love the sort of light nature of this beer. But because it's an IPA, it definitely, for my taste, is good, but still, like, making the best out of... It's the best IPA I think I've had, just because it's closer to what I normally drink.
Well, it's a lager. It's not...
Oh,
it's not,
I'm
it's
sorry.
A lager.
Well, it's got IPA nature to it.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So... I think I'm going to go, because it's really good and it's Sierra Nevada, and I think it's got a cool presentation and there's a cool story to it, I'm going to go 7.75 koozies.
7.75 to make my life hell.
Next week I'm going to go 3 decimals.
Yeah, just keep on doing decimals that I haven't got figured out on the koozie thing.
I think approximate.
I'm probably just going to put a half a koozie on all those and then put the number next to it go.
So what are you going to give it? You got a little more refined taste than I do. This is a little more up your alley when it comes to beers. What do you think about it?
I'm reading the top of the bottle right now, and they are calling it they're calling it a take on an India style pale lager. So it is an IPL. Mm. Let's I like it. I like both these companies. This beer is good. They did specify in on the website about the difference between bitterness and hoppiness, and I'm really kind of getting that out of this, because it is hoppy, but
not
quite
bitter,
so bitter. Yeah. And so I really do kind of like it. I like IPAs. I am an IPA drinker, but like you said, when they get a little over the top, it's kind of like, I mean, what are we really doing here? You know, I mean, you can go too far with anything. I think I'm going to keep it up there in the eights. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Nice.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm going to give it another 8.5.
All right, well, I guess it's time for that pub joke of the week you got for us. You ready to lay it on us?
I am, yeah. One more question.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about, I have the equipment to do all grain.
Uh-huh.
Did you want to do all grain or extract? Mind you, all grain will be ridiculously cheaper. If we go buy an extract kit, it's going to be, you know, between $35 and $55. For the kit alone.
Yeah.
If we
if we, that's, you know, retail, I don't know. Mm-hmm. If we do, an extract, if we, or sorry, if we do an all grain and we stick to some basic, mostly basic, pale ale malt, maybe a secondary, you know, crystal or something that adds a little bit of sweetness, and then, one hop, I mean, we could be in the $20 range probably.
I think I'd rather go cheaper, plus a little more basic and a little more from scratch. I think I'd prefer that. Yeah, let's try that.
And like I said before, we might even be able to double extract it, and so we could maybe have, you know, like 10 or 11 gallons for $20.
Let's do it.
We'd have to buy an additional set of hops probably, but
yeah.
We can. Yeah, maybe not. We can see how we do it. We'll talk to the guys down there at Revolt and see what they say.
Sounds good. We'll do that this week.
All right, so the pub joke of the week.
Let's hear it.
It's kind of a long one, too. I haven't really practiced it, so I hope this goes okay.
We'll give everybody a chance to get lulled in.
Yeah. All right, so a Scotsman, an Englishman, and an Irishman are sitting in a bar in New York City reminiscing about home. I'm not even going to try to do these accents, so... So back in my pub, the Scotsman brags, for every four pints of stout I order, they give me, 1 pint free. And says, yeah, well, back in my pub in London, says the Englishman, I pay for 2 pints of Guinness and they give me 1 for free. And, the last guy says, yeah, that's nothing, says the Irishman, says, I'm... In my pub in Dublin, you walk into the bar, they give you the first pint for free, then they give you the second pint for free, then they give you the third pint for free, and then they take you upstairs and have sex with you for free. He says, and this one guy, the Scotsman, says, is that true? Has that really happened to you? He says, well, no, says the Irishman, but it happens to my sister all the time.
Good one. Well, that's the Better Beer Club podcast for this week. We hope you go check us out on iTunes. Give us a good rating. That's probably up there with things you could do for us to help us out. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Tell your buddies that like to drink beer and join us again next week, Nate.
Later on, guys. Cheers to better beer. What's inside?